You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
964. Bingo!
Let's go for 50.
All right, y'all ready? 968. Bingo!
Twenty-five.
9-5-1. All over there, winner.
25.
918. 918. Over here. All right. Merry Christmas. 929. Merry Christmas.
$25.
919. 919 over here. All right. 903. 903 right over here.
Look, chimes. Okay, we're down to the last three. They're going to all be 50s.
Drum roll, please. All right. The first winner is 954. Ah, winner, Anna. All right. Winner number 944. Winner. And last but not least, number 909. We got a winner on the second row. There you go, Lee.
Yeah, just put them all
put
in
them
there.
All back in there?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we'll just... Give me all your garbage.
We'll keep these.
Are we good, okay. Alan?
Wow. All right. Now, somebody asked me if we were going to just have the pizza and give away prizes or go ahead and do a message, and I thought about that. Let me say this about the rec room. And this will be the last time we'll meet in 2015. Next Thursday night's Christmas Eve, and then the next Thursday night is New Year's Eve. So for 2 weeks in a row, we won't be together. But we started the rec room with two goals in mind. The first goal is to help you get to heaven. Sometime we're not very good at that. I need to be a lot better than what I am. But I'm going to tell you, we're never going to deviate from that as long as I'm alive. We might have pizza and we might not. We might have goodies and we might not. We might have giveaways and we might not. But we're going to hear about Jesus. Yeah. Second thing is I'd like to see you free for the rest of your life. Just stay out of incarceration. That's our second goal. And I know this. I know you can be on your way to heaven, but you're still down here in the mud and the blood and the beer. And sometimes it's pretty rough. And that's why we do the helps that we do. We want to help you make it. We want to help you be free. And so whatever it takes, we will try to help you. And God has been very gracious to us. But I'm going to read you a story that never gets old to me in a minute. And I want Brother Charles to sing this special. And I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Brother Leland. You know, a lot of people, when they get older, they're hot-natured, but it seems like I'm more, maybe I'm hot, I don't know, but I'm hot, so I got to have the fan blowing on me. Leland, I have turned it off for him. We could maybe turn a little air on. I see if you're somebody else. Where's Robert? Robert, could you flip the air on for us? Maybe put her around 70 or something like that, at least not 83. Well, this song I'm going to do tonight is really not the one I wanted to do, but I want us to do it perfectly because it's a new song, and I have fallen in love with it, and it's a song that really will give you a message, and I hope touch your heart. But this song is not mine. It's actually Dolores's song, and I asked her to do it a couple of weeks ago, and she didn't. But she did tell me it was okay if I sung it, right? She said it's okay, so I can't do as good as her, but we're going to try to do this. The greatest story ever told. A woman and an angel, a promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. These tell the greatest story ever told. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. Hillside and some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold. Eternal revelation to men as hard as stone, it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest, he is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, but it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest, he has come, our great Messiah. You will bow before this wonderful, mighty King. Oh, mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. It's still the greatest. Thank God for Jesus.
I want you to quickly turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke chapter 2. And if you don't have a Bible and would like to turn there, if you lift your hand, we got some guys that'll bring you one. And here's what I'd like for you to do. If you don't have a Bible here with you, keep this one as the rec room's gift to you. And if you're going to keep it, then get your pen, because there's some things I want you to mark in it tonight. Luke chapter 2. We're going to just begin reading with verse 8. I want to read three verses. And it said there, we're in the same country. Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All over the world, again this year, these verses will go out like they have every year since that day. They're read or heard in Muslim nations, Buddhist nations, communist nations, socialist nations. They're sent out by TV, radio, the internet. If a man were on the moon this Christmas, he could hear these verses. Every year, in fact, two times a year, God makes people notice. Two times a year, we celebrate the birth of Christ once a year, and we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, which required his death every year. Twice a year, the world is revealed how to get to heaven. And the fact that anybody wouldn't go is real indictment against their own minds and their attitude. Man cannot deny that a Savior came. It shows up on billboards, bumper stickers, Christmas cards, malls, stores, Christmas parties, churches. We'll be hearing about this again. Three things I want to talk on. Talk about this angel. Number one, God's angel. He showed up on earth 2,015 years ago. He must have been a frightening angel, because he scared some tough people. If you notice there, that when the angel of the Lord showed up, verse 9 said, these shepherds were sore afraid. We have in religion's got a picture of angels as little bitty cherubic type people with wings. In the Bible, angel never had any wings and was never a baby. When an angel showed up, folks got scared. Just like these guys. These guys are not folks that you'd call a sissy. They're pretty tough people. If they'd been in West Texas, they'd have been roughnecks. And they're afraid, because angels in the Bible are like warriors. They come, they have authority. In fact, one angel one time wiped out 186,000 people. Now you can imagine what happened if two of them showed up. Goodness. These angels appeared to shepherds. And like I said a while ago, shepherds were a tough bunch. Their job required being tough. It required basically two things, dedication and just some toughness. It didn't require GED. Didn't require background checks. Number one, they worked in all the elements of the weather, rain or shine, cold or hot. Whatever the situation was, long hours. They had tough working conditions. They weren't an 8-to-5 bunch. Second thing about them is they were there, and the reason they had to be tough was to protect the sheep. They were in charge of the sheep. That means they had to protect them from wolves and from thieves. They were a tough bunch. It's also kind of interesting, as I read this, who the angel did not go to. Think about this for a minute. He didn't go to the priest in the temple, the religious guy. You'd think when Jesus Christ was going to come to earth that the first place God would notify would be the Jewish temple. His temple that his people had built. That's not where that angel went. Neither did he go to the University of Jerusalem, to the scholars. Nor did he go to the Chamber of Commerce where the successful businessmen were. He went to a bunch of shepherds. Anybody ever think about that? Let me give you just one reason, and everybody knows this. It's not something I came up with. But if you recall, those of you that's been to Sunday school, the first time that John the Baptist saw Jesus in his ministry, and he said to the people, "Behold," anybody know the next words? "The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So doesn't it figure that if God's going to send his lamb, he'd send him to shepherds? Makes sense to me. And notice what the angel tells the shepherds. He said unto them, verse 10, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings." Highlight that. Mark that in your Bible. Good, that means good news. I've got something good to tell you. They didn't know if it was going to be good or bad. They were scared. He said, "Calm down, man. Fear not. You don't have to fear. I've got some good news to tell you." He said, "It's a good time of great joy." You can't beat this. Let me tell you what I've learned about joy. You can have the joy of the Lord in situations you're not enjoying. I have buried 3 of my children. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "How many kids you got?" I said, "I got 5, but I only got 2 to worry about." I never enjoyed any of those funerals. But I had the joy of knowing that, like my youngest son used to always say, "Catch you later." I told my kid, "I'll catch you later. We're going to meet one another again. It's not over." That's the joy, the real joy, the joy that can hang in there when everything is going to hell. The joy that can hang in there when nothing is right. The joy that can hang in there. It's a great joy when everything seems to be wrong. He said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." You can highlight the words "great joy," "which shall be to the good guys." Yeah? To all people. To all people, any and all, not those who are trying, not those. The Bible said God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we try and straighten up, do good, act right, make a name for ourselves. All people, doesn't make any difference who you are. Doesn't make any difference about your qualification. Doesn't make any difference about your past. I I say at least one time every week to a group of people, you can't do a thing about your past. And I'll say it to you, you can't do a thing about your past. You know what you can do? You can do everything about your future. Do everything about your future. Now, you don't have to wait till you get out of Clover House. You don't wait till you have to get off paper. You don't have to wait till you get home. You don't have to wait till you get a job. You don't have to wait any time. That's why the Bible says now is the day of salvation. And then he said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior must be a person. It's not a church. It's not a creed. It's not a Bible. It's a person. A Savior. And then the warrior, that angel, leaves no mystery about who it is. He said it's Christ the Lord. That narrows it down. That's the only one that's ever lived. Not another. He said a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And let me tell you about a Savior. And this may be, or to me, probably the most beautiful word in the Bible. Back when I was a kid, I took a life-saving course at our local pool. Now, if I'm going to tell you the truth, I didn't take the life-saving course because I wanted to save somebody's life. I took the life-saving course because I wanted to be a lifeguard at the pool where all the girls came. And they taught us that if a person were drowning, if you could help it, never get in the water. Get a rope, get a hose, get a long stick. Try not to ever get in. But then they taught us how if we had to get in the water, to make sure that the drowning person didn't drown you both. And they taught us how to do that. And when I see the word Savior, I think of that drowning person. I think of that person going down the last time. No hope. All hope is gone. And then all of a sudden from the shore comes a Savior and takes them back to the safety of the shore. And that's exactly what Jesus did for me. I needed a Savior. Christ can do a lot of things for you, but He'll only do them after you've received Him as Savior. First and foremost. In fact, He said, the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. A Savior's got to be able to save. A Savior's got to be willing to save. And a Savior's got to have the power to save. And Jesus Christ has it all. You're not here by accident. You ended up in a place you don't want to be, like Clover House. And you might have ended up in a place you don't want to be, like Rec Room. But you know what? God got you here because He's trying. He wants to save you. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, nobody talking. And you're here tonight, and you don't have a Savior. If you were to die tonight and stand before God and God asked you, who's your Savior? You'd have to say, I don't have one. If that's where you are, would you just lift your hand and say, Leland, pray for me. I want a Savior. God bless you. I see your hand, sir. And lift them up and I recognize you. Put them back down. Yes. Anyone else, real quickly? I don't have a Savior. Yes, sir, I see your hand. I don't have a Savior. I'd like to have a Savior. And one if, lift your hand real quick. We're going to pray. Just, yes, ma'am. Yes, son. I see your hand. Someone else. I want a Savior. Our Heavenly Father, you see the hand. You know the hearts. We can't con you. And tonight, help those that lifted their hands to realize that you're ready, you're able, you're willing to save them this very night. The Bible says that if they would confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that you've raised him from the dead, they'd be saved. Help them to do that this night. Won't you stand to your feet? Head still bowed, eyes still closed. As Charles sings on the very first verse, I want you to come and say, I take Jesus as my Savior tonight. You can walk out of here with a Savior knowing you're saved forevermore. Would you come right now?
Just
as I am. Come on. You lifted your hand. Now come on. Yes. God bless you. Yes, sir. Come right on, son. Someone else. Come on. You talk to him right there. Yes, sir. Come right on. Come on. I want a Savior. Come on. Come on. I want a Savior. I want to be saved. Would you come? Yes, sir. Come on.
To rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood
come on.
Can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as
you've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.